Well, as Chris said, we've been in South Africa for the last week, and South Africa is a country of contrasts, and Johannesburg no less so. It's easy to see that all the new cars and the expensive houses, the high-rise offices, but just 10 minutes south of the centre lies the township of Soweto, where many people will live in a shack, little more than a simple metal shed. To get an idea of what life is really like for the poor in Johannesburg, we spoke to one of the residents there.
My name is Zareda Shangwe, and we are at Mtsweledi. We live in a shack. We don't have electricity or water running through the yard. We have to go, maybe we pass 5 houses to get water. And we use gas stoves to cook. And we light with candles in the house, we use a car battery for television and radio.
How many people live here?
5, 6 with my son.
And who are those 4 people that you live with apart from your son?
My sisters. One is older and the 3 are younger than me.
So what do you do for money? I mean, you're not able to go to work. You're looking after your son. So how do you live?
We sell vegetables. My older sister sells vegetables.
And are they vegetables you buy from someone else, or do you grow them?
We grow them down the road in the other side.
So tell us a bit about life for you here. What's it like to actually live here? Because this is pretty basic as a means of accommodation.
Yes. It's when we live here, people judge us for living here. When people pass the street, they look at us in a different way. They don't think of us as people. They just think of people living in a shack. So it's not nice.
You've got a television here.
Yes.
You haven't got any electricity, though, so how do you run your television?
We use a car battery.
How long does that last?
It lasts about 6 or 7 days.
And so television, radio must be quite important for you to get information.
Yes, it is important. It is important for us.
But if you could change things here, I mean, what would be the most immediate thing that would make life better?
Electricity. We don't mind not having houses, but we just want electricity and running water in the yards.
It's pretty drafty in here. There's holes in the roof.
Yes.
Is it warm?
When it's hot outside, the house becomes very, very hot. When it's cold, it becomes cold. When it rains, it leaks.
What do you think is the prospects for your son? How will you try and make sure things go well for him?
I don't know. If I could find a job, I can make sure that things go well for him. If I could find a job.
Have you any plans of how you might make that happen?
Yes, I do. I do send CVs. I go. Sometimes they call me for interviews, but sometimes I don't get a job. Since I went for interviews, I didn't get a job. So I'm still sending CVs and looking for a job.
And were you born here?
No, we were born in KwaZulu-Natal. My parents came here looking for jobs.
And they brought you with them?
Yes.
Do you wish in some respects they hadn't brought you here?
No, we don't, because in KwaZulu-Natal it's worse than here. The situation is worse than the one we face here.
And what do you think will be the situation in 5 years' time for you and your family?
The government promises to change things, so we hope things would have changed by then.
Now, although 5 people and a baby living together in a corrugated metal shack not much bigger than my garage, with no electricity and no running water, may sound very extreme to us, in many places the quality of life is a lot worse. And also with us in Soweto was Dira Nonifadi. He's a television journalist based in Nigeria, so I asked him how the conditions we experienced compared with other parts of Africa.
To be honest with you, I will not describe these as very bad. I'm not measuring just by Nigeria, but my fairly extensive knowledge of other African countries. Because if you look at it, they don't have electricity in their homes, but there's still a situation where there is some illumination in the night.
Street lights and so on.
Street light. And there is community water supply there for them 24 hours a day. And you even have provisions for toilets. By African standards, this is not how a squatter settlement is treated.
You're saying these people are fortunate?
In a way, yes.
It's hard to imagine worse, though.
Well, you go to villages or even see who constitutes the urban poor in many African cities. It's far worse. It's far worse in the sense that you find much more number of people living in the same rooms, without running water, without good toilets, and much the same way without electricity. And it's not good, but it's not the worst that can happen on this continent.
How do you see places like this changing in the next 5 years? Do you think if we come back in 5 years' time, we'll still be standing here looking upon the same sort of scene, a worse scene, or will things have got markedly better?
This is easy to change in the sense that they already have spaces well cut out for them. In many African cities, people like them are just mere squatters to be flushed out. And I think the most important thing is for them to have electricity and for a way to be worked out for them to have some more concrete structure. I mean, if that happens, life, I think their fortune is easy to turn around. Theirs is better than people who still live in mud huts, you know, with thatched roofs and things like that. And there is no prospect of even getting electricity to them. And there is no water pipe anywhere close by. I mean, I think it's easy to change their lot.
It's a bizarre environment, though, because we drove in the car for 10 minutes out of five-star hotels, beautiful radio studios in the middle of Johannesburg, and then we're here, and it couldn't be more different.
It's what some analysts have been called the five-minute factor. Most cities, be it in Nigeria, be it in Ghana, be it wherever, most cities, you just need to drive 5 minutes out of those cities and you see the flip side of civilization. It's that bad.
And the trappings of cities were still actually there, because when we were in that shack, Chris pointed out that she had a better DVD player than Chris has got at home. But that was Dirin Orefade talking to Chris in Soweto.
So Naked Scientists with Chris, Ben and Dave. We're talking about science in South Africa this week, but we're also talking science in general. In a second, Tony in Chelmsford's got a question for us about electric toothbrushes. If you've got a question, email us. It's chris@thenakedscientist.com.
The Naked Scientists. For more information, get online at nakedscientists.com.